Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
To a new way, you'll leave this strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. Hallelujah. Your host, your brother. Hallelujah. In Christ, brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. What an awesome God we serve, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Shalom, brother Michael, brother Estrada, the Lord's servant. Ezra, shalom. Hallelujah, brother Miguel. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lori, sister Lori. Ryan, Crossroad, shalom to each and one of you. Hallelujah, welcome to the Lord's Hour. Praise you, God. Praise you, Yeshua, brother Joseph. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Our God is so awesome. Our God is so great. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Why do we worry? He's in control, and there's nothing out of his hand, but everything is in his hand. And when he allows things to be, it's because he knows what's best fit for us. Hallelujah. He makes everything work for the best to them that love him, my brother and sister. I remember a time in my life when I was concerned about my life. Things was not going as I wanted them to. And sometimes you try your best. You try your hardest to make things, hallelujah, works for you, my brother and sister, and sometimes they don't. Hallelujah. But the Lord Almighty wants us to trust him. And God spoke to this prophet, I remember, hallelujah, and said to her, go give this word to my son, Elvie. I remember. It was about, I would say, 24 years ago. And this is the word she gave me. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things works together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. His purpose, hallelujah, his calling comes to us with a purpose. He just didn't call you because he felt like it. He called you with a purpose, with a plan, with an agenda for the last days. It is his purpose in the last day that he's bringing about. In your calling, in Hebrew, hallelujah, his calling is to those that love him, that love who? God. Okay? The love that you have for him, he knew he before he created the earth, my brother and sister. And he called you in his purpose, in his plan, hallelujah, but he also knew that you love him. Your love is even counted by him. Everything about us, he knows, my brother and sister. Everything about us, he notices. He doesn't ignore anything about us. But everything is in his hand. Your life, my life, your children, your family, everything you do is in his hand. my brother and sister. And he calling us to trust him. And there could be a lot of things going wrong in your life, but everything, and we know, and this is we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Everything in your life, he will make work for the good. Okay? He'll make it work together. Even the bad things that you go through in life, when you lose someone or lose something, God makes it for the good. He makes it work. Okay? People that's been walking with the Lord for 80 or 90 years of age. And I used to love to talk to this sister who went home to being with the Lord, because she has served God for over 60 years. Okay? And a lot of people in the church thought that I was a young man. And this older sister in the Lord, you know, I had to go pick her up to bring her to church and all that. And I used to spend time with her like on a Saturday. I was there to talk about God with her. And she would go on about the Lord. But the thing she shared was how everything she went through, that she didn't know how she was going to make it, God made it work for the good. God made it work. I don't know how he did it, but he made it work. He brought me through, Elvie. And as long as you're serving him and you're trusting him, God is going to make everything in your life come through. He's going to make things happen. He's going to make things work for you. Other people may not make it because they're not trusting him. But you that are trusting him, he's going to make everything work for good for you and I, because he's in control of our lives. Like I asked the Lord Jesus, Lord, why? He was standing right in front of me. Why did you told us about the coronavirus vaccine not to take it, and there are other people taking it? He says, because you are my special treasure, my brother and sister. And I was talking to Oski on the Lord's Hour. How come we know we're not out to take the vaccine and other people are taking it? He says, because you are special to me, he says. Hello, someone. Jesus said that we are special to him. Doesn't that make you feel special? Doesn't that make you feel special to him? That he says that we are special to him. Jesus, standing in front of me, said those words to me. I wasn't expecting him to say it the way he said it, but it gave me joy. Why us, Lord, the Lord's Hour? And he said, because you are special to me. My Lord, my God, he is awesome. We serve a wonderful God, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. I went into the Word today because, hallelujah, besides all the negative that is happening, the Bible talks about the glory of God. How God, my brother and sister, this place is glory in his word to us. Shalom, Sister Consuelo. Telling us how mighty he is. He's the almighty God. He has total power over all situations. My brother and sister. God came to the children of Israel through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. And God displayed his power to them, my brother and sister. God displayed his power and love to them. When God called the prophet Isaiah to speak to them, my brother and sister, it was a special calling. Actually, everyone thinks, or the majority of people think, that Isaiah is one of the greatest prophets. He did things that other prophets did not do, like walking naked when the Lord told him to go ahead and show them their nakedness. My brother and sister, I want you to see here in Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to go into the word now, and I want you to see something here. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6 that in the year of the king Hosea died, hallelujah, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. There is a translation that says that his garment or glory filled the temple, my brother and sister. The glory of God fill the temple. His garment filled the temple. My brother and sister has trained him. It says in this translation of the King James, and above stood the seraphim, which I've seen person in person. Each has one six wings. With two, he covered his face, he covered his feet, and with two, he flew. My brother and sister, I had been given the blessing to speak with a seraphim in heaven not long ago. And their beauty, they are on fire in the presence of God. And every word that comes out of her mouth is tried through fire. That truly impressed me, what I saw. It was amazing. My brother and sister. Verse 3, one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. My brother and sister, this is very hard to see. God's glory on the earth. My brother and sister, for God's glory to be on the earth, hallelujah, it doesn't say that his glory is displayed on the earth. But his glory will have to be on the earth in order for us to be alive. Because his glory, when you read and study the glory of God in the Bible, it brings changes. Nothing changes unless he makes it happen. My brother and sister, bird cannot fly. Human cannot go to and fro. My brother and sister, and science cannot increase. Nothing can happen unless he makes it happen. So truly his glory is on the earth, not the way we want to see it like it's in heaven. Because in heaven, his glory is totally displayed. His power is totally displayed. You can enjoy it in the air and everywhere in heaven. On earth, it's not displayed as it is in heaven. But when we see a baby being born, that's God's glory. My brother, when a bird, a chicken is born, a chick, that's God's glory. Because it cannot happen unless he makes it happen. Nothing can happen. He is life. He is the life of every man. He is the only one that can think, that can make a new chick, a new baby be born. It cannot happen without him. And in that simple fact of it, or very few people thank him for, and that's where he wants us to, my brother and sister, praise him. The seraphim, of course, they have a greater view, Shalom, Sister Renee, of God. They can see the display of his power. But when they look at the earth, they say, holy. When they look at God's glory over this earth, they praise him. And they cry, the Bible says. And they say to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. They can glorify God for what they see on this earth. My Lord, my God, can you and I wake up in the morning and begin to worship God? when our babies are born, when we see things happen, my brother and sister, the devil has made sure he has several TV channels where every news that comes out of those TV channels is bad, my brother and sister, to keep people focused on the bad news. They all talk about it, murder, nation going against nations, gossiping. That's all they talk about all day long. Excuse me. They keep people focused on the negative. For you not to see God's glory. For you not to see God's miracle. For people not to depend on God's miracle, my brother and sister. That's what the devil does. That's the work of the devil, my brother and sister. I learned the other day, we think that Fox News is better than CNN. But all those networks works together. International television, international network, they are joined together. They all work directly for the devil, my brother and sisters. And they have to report bad news every day, all day long. They don't go there to say, to talk about the miracle of God, a baby being born. No, they go there to talk about, hallelujah, abortion, and the many abortion and the many way they do it, my brother insisted. It's not about glorifying God there, but it's about glorifying evil, my brother insisted. And as long as we keep focused on the negative, on the evil that is happening on this earth, we don't see what the seraphim see about God, our God, the Almighty God, the one who is in control of all, the one that makes all good things happen to them that love him. Are you listening? My brother insisted. The devil had to set the scene in order to make everything negative. Pay off all these television channels to make sure they talk about the virus, COVID-19, all day long, every day, Spanish, Chinese, Japanese, every single language. All they talk about is COVID-19 and how many people are dying. He has to keep it evil. He has to keep it negative. He has to keep a cloud of evil upon the earth. The whole earth, the Bible says, is under the evil one. Are you listening? He has to keep a shadow of evil upon the earth. Everything has to be negative in order to make people rethink their belief and run out to take the by seeing, because the by seeing is the hook where he gets to have them on his side, my brother insisted. That's where they signed the alliance with him. That's, hallelujah, when they deny the Lord, my brother and sister, and receive his mark, my brother and sister, hallelujah. And they cry to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, Holy Host. The whole earth is full of his glory. And people say, it doesn't feel like it, Brother Elvy. It doesn't feel like it because you've been focused on the negative. You've been watching too much news. You've been watching what's happening on the earth, on the earthly thing. But if you've been with the Lord, spending time with the Lord every day, the most, you will look at the greatness of our Lord, of his goodness upon the earth, and like the seraphim, you will praise him. That is God creation, seeing what God has been doing, has done, and praising him, my brother and sister. Why do they praise him? Because they can see. They can see. They don't spend time, these seraphim don't spend time watching television. But if they've been on the earth 365 days of the year watching television, I assure you they will not be saying holy. Holy, they will not be praising God. No, 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 no. Like this humanity watching CNN, there's no praise coming out of their mouth to God. No, 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 no. No praise at all. There will be no praise. You will have to be spending time with God. You will have to see the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. Being in his presence, walking with the Holy Spirit, praying every morning, every day, at every hour, spending time with God. Then you will say like the seraphim, holy, holy, holy the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. The whole earth is full of his glory. It's the only way you are going to praise God when you spend time with God. Hallelujah. And the posts of the door are moving. The voice of him that cry. And the house was full of smoke. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God. I seen that smoke of the Spirit. I was invited to a church in Connecticut to preach a few years ago, and the presence of the Lord came out on that altar, and that pulpit, my brother and sister, a smoke, recorded on camera, my brother and sister. It was recorded on camera, the smoke of the Lord that came as I was preaching there. Hallelujah, because I remember that time all I did was spend time with the Lord, not watching television at all, just spending time with the Lord, fasting and prayer. And when I was invited there, the presence of the Lord, these seraphims that came down and smoke. I know what that is, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Out of the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 5, and then I say, woe on me, for I am undone, because I am a man with unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. Are you listening? For my eye has seen the King of the Lord of hosts. My Lord. You see the contamination that the prophet Isaiah said that he find himself. How many of us can say that, amen to brother Isaiah? How many of us can look at the prophet Isaiah, can read what the prophet Isaiah said and say, brother, amen to that? I mean, I find myself, brother Isaiah, in the same situation. I am among the people with unclean lips, always speaking bad word, evil word. Evil word, my brother insisted. False word. F, false word. Evil word, my brother and sister. That's all they speak all day long. People around us. Hallelujah. I don't like to be around people that like to speak evil, bad, because that contaminates your soul. That contaminates your life. And we have to be extremely careful with that, my brother and sister, because the devil, this is how he wants to contaminate us. By listening to people like Isaiah, because I am a man of unclean lips, okay? Someone can say, I am a man that speak bad, okay? Someone can say that. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, my brother and sister. God knows what you are. God knows the people that are around you. But here's the question. Are you repenting? Are you repenting? Are you confessing your sin? Are you confessing your trespasses? Because Jesus, when he came, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. My brother and sister, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, my brother and sister. The kingdom of God is among you. Repent. Because Jesus is the kingdom of God. Jesus is the king that is in charge of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And he is among us. He is with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. My brother and sister, and for his spirit to be among us, in our life, we need to be repenting. We need to be confessing our sins. We need to be confessing our trespasses. Because even that is a blessing. When you are able to repent, when you are able to confess your sin, I'm going to show you the blessing that it is. And I'm going to show you, my brother and sister, that people who refuses to repent in this generation, the blessing of repenting will be taken away from them. Hello, someone. I'll show you in a minute. In the word, they're going to lose the blessing because they're not taking the blessing serious. God is not playing around, because the word of God said God will not be mocked. Everything that man soweth, so he will reap, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. This opportunity to repent, it is for us to take serious with all of our heart and not put off to another, for another day, because this is the day of the Lord. My brother and sister, this is the day of the Lord. This is the day of repentance. This is the day the Lord has called us to, hallelujah, to make our path straight. Hallelujah, to repent and forsaking our evil ways, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a life goal. In his hand, which he has taken from the tongue from us, the altar. What altar? The altar in heaven. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. And what did he do when he took the coal? And he laid upon my mouth and said, when you repent, when you humble yourself, God will clean you. The blood of Jesus, when you repent, will clean you from all unrighteousness, which is sin, my brothers and sisters. He laid upon my mouth. Not only our heart is contaminated, or our soul, or our spirit, also our speaking, our mouth, my brother and sister. The mouth of the prophet Isaiah, the unclean lips, the evil speaking, the bad word contaminates you before God. And God sent the seraphim to clean the mouth of Isaiah. And lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity, because that's what sin is. Iniquity, my brother and sister, is the things that God hates, things that God dislikes. It's the things that cannot be in his presence. You want to be in his presence, you got to repent. And you got to ask him to remove those things from your life, the unclean things, the iniquity from you every day. That iniquity is taken away. Cannot be left there. Because you are a house of God. And the Spirit of God says, spoke to the Romans. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Holy Spirit, that iniquity has to be removed, taken away from you. And thy sin purged. And also heard the voice of the Lord saying, oh, after he was cleansed, after his iniquity was taken away, now he can hear the Lord. I wonder, there are many that want to hear the Lord, what is keeping, what is in their life, what iniquity is in them that they cannot hear him when he speaks to them, because he speaks to us. My brother and sister, Lord, remove all iniquity from my life that I may hear you, Lord. Can you say that? Repent. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then say I, here I am, send me. So many people have studied this word and wonder. Because the word us, it's more than one. And was it the prophet that said I? Or is the one who sat at the right hand of the Father that said I? It was him. It was Jesus. Isaiah heard Jesus. Because I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Father was speaking, who would I say? Who will go for us? Then say I, here I am, send me. Praise you, Lord. How many, when the eunuch Philip was talking to him, who he was speaking of, until someone else, and then came Stephen and said, Phillips and said, no, he was talking about Jesus of Nazareth, who will later be crucified. It was Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about him. It's all about him. It's all about him. My brother and sister, whom was the prophet talking about? Was he talking about himself or the eunuch? Read it in the book of Acts. Was he talking about himself, or he was talking about someone else in Philip Wayne? How can Philip say it was Jesus? Because now he's been walking with Jesus and heard the word out of the mouth of Jesus. It was the prophet that Moses said, and the Lord will send another prophet among you. Praise you, Lord, to teach you on his ways. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye and thee, but understand not, and see ye and thee, but perceive not. I want to show to you here that when the people, God speak to them and send messenger after messenger to them, and they refuse to listen, and they refuse to see, their ears are blocked from them seeing, and their eyes are also blocked from them. Their ears are blocked from them hearing, and their eyes are blocked from them seeing. My brother and sister, those are those that are taken by seeing. They have a ear, but they cannot hear anymore, and they have eyes, but they cannot see anymore. Because God spoke to them before, and they did not listen. They didn't seek the will of God, whether they should take it. And now it's totally different, my brother and sister. I want you to see this. Isaiah 6:10. Make the heart of these people fat. Make their ears heavy. And sharp their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with the heart and convert and be healed. Oh, my Lord, oh, my God. Because they refuse to listen. Now, they don't get to hear anymore. They don't. No. It was told to the Lord. Father said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. How many times am I going to speak to these people? My brother and sister, how many times is he going to warn them and they not hear or see that it's the Lord sending his messenger? Now the privilege of hearing and seeing is taken away from them. Look what Father told his son to do with the people now. Make the heart of the people fat. In the medical field, if you have fat around your heart, it will provoke you to have a heart attack, death. My brother and sister, when the doctor does a study, when you start having problem with your heart, like my mom was having problem with her heart, she has fat in her heart. And the doctor, because of her age, cannot say, well, we'll operate you, we'll remove the fat, nothing like that. Put her on diet, and the fat will not go away. My mom's words was, every day, I feel like death, dying, death in me. My brother and sister, like death had taken a place in her heart to live. My brother and sister, the fat was so much there. Okay? Make the heart fat. Make their ears heavy. My brother and sister, another translation for this verse. Okay? Because we have to see it through different translations to understand it better. Okay, let me put it so you can see what exactly what it means. Okay, I question why did the King James say it this way. Okay, all right, we got other Bible translation. Gives us a better understanding or help us understand better is the word. My brother and sister, make their heart of the people insensitive, their ear dull, their eyes dim. Okay? It goes from them being normal, able to hear, able to see, not anymore. Okay? Stop up their ears and shut their eyes, close them. spiritually, this is what they're saying, ears and stuff. I mean, close their eyes and stop their ears. Where they cannot see spiritually, they cannot see spiritually, and they cannot hear spiritually. This is what God ordered Jesus to do with this generation that refuses to repent, refusing to listen. And I'm going to show you about repenting and converting, my brother and sister. When I get there in a minute, okay, this is what's happening when they take the vaccine, okay, because they didn't listen to God and his warning, my brother and sister. That was verse 10, okay? And when this happened, look what it says. This is what it says when this happened. Let this, okay, and understand what the heart. They cannot understand what the heart and convert and be healed. They cannot do those things now. That cannot happen. Now watch this. Verse 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, unto the city be wasted without inhabitants, and the house without men, and the land be utterly desolated. Playing around. You think Christianity is a game? When God says enough is enough, enough is enough. He spoke to them. He sent a messenger. His son went to the cross. He sent a messenger. He told them to repent and turn back to him. And they kept refusing. They kept refusing. He allowed the virus. They started dying. And then allow the hook of the enemy, the vaccine. Now, my brother insisted. And when they take it, and so you see that is the judgment of God. Again, verse 10, make the heart of the people fat. Make the heart insensitive. Make the heart hard for them not to repent. Block their eyes. Stop their ears. Block their eyes from seeing. Stop their ear from hearing. That's the order of God. And that is what has been done. Read it. Look it up in another translation and see it. Make the heart of the people sluggish with fact. Stop their ears and shut their eyes. Otherwise, seeing with the eyes and hearing with the ear, then understanding with the heart that they may repent and be healed. It's done. It's been done. This is why after they take the vaccine, you can talk to them all you want. That's it. It's not them anymore. Because he spoke to them to repent, and they did not listen. He gave them opportunity to turn to him, and they will not. They judged his prophet, and many other pastors and ministers have been thrown in jail. My brother and sister, God said enough is enough. How many times he's going to send his messenger to them all day long? And the Lord had removed men far away, and there'll be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. That's it. He had put his foot down. My brother insisted. He's going to do what he's going to do to the city. Brother Benjamin here is a witness. He's here now listening because he's been taken to the great tribulation also. What have we seen in the great tribulation that the Lord himself has shown us? This is what we have seen. The city being wasted, destroying. Whole town and city without inhabitants. I seen this with my own eyes. The Lord had taken me there several times. And this is what I seen. City wasted by wasteland, nothing. Whole city without inhabitants. Houses without men. My brother can witness that to you there in the chat room, if I'm speaking the truth or not. And some of you have also had the same dream from the Lord. God has put his foot down. Houses without men. And the land utterly desolated. Here in the United States and everywhere. New York City. can take you to California in the Great Tribulation. There's no California in the Great Tribulation. I seen the end of California. There's no Hollywood. There's no San Francisco. 5 years into the Great Tribulation, there's no San Francisco. 3 years into the Great Tribulation, there's no California. Destroyed by earthquake, a mighty tsunami. You go into the Great Tribulation, 3 years into the Great Tribulation, as the Lord has taken me in 5 years, there is no California. There is no San Francisco. No L.A. No Hollywood. Utterly, utterly destroyed. Most all California sink to the sea. Gone. Gone, my brothers and sisters. The sea take over. Not a soul alive, my brothers and sisters. New York goes the same way. There's no Florida in the Great Tribulation either. There's no Florida. You can go 3 and 5 years in the Great Tribulation. You can look for Florida. Miami. There's no Miami. There's no Orlando. I can tell you the places that will be left, my brother and sister, none practically. 3 and 5 years of the Great Tribulation. Three years. There's no Florida. There's no California. My brother and sister, utterly destroyed. There's no city. Miami's not there. Orlando is not there. It's not there. It's gone. What it was of Orlando is like a pond full of alligators. Look at that beautiful city online now, Orlando. Nothing left. Look at Miami, beautiful city. Nothing left. Utterly destroyed. God has put his foot down. My brother and sister, yesterday morning, I was here in the United States in the spirit, in the physical, but in the future. I can say I was in my body. Because the Apostle Paul says, whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. It's hard to say. My brother and sister, have I been to heaven in the body? I can say yes, and I can also say no. Been to the Great Tribulation in the body? Yes and no. Why I can say yes? Because I've been chased and run and got tired and felt the weather and all that. Felt hunger, felt things that normally you feel in this body here. I felt it there. So then I was there in the body. Have I been in the millennium in the body? Yes, several times. And no, my brother and sister. He took me into the months to come here. I was telling Brother Benjamin, I'm not sure if it was China, but I believe it was China. China had all their carrier and submarines and around the coast of the United States. Whatever army bases, United States have another country, which they do in Turkey. They have military bases around the world, including Central America, my brother and sister. China had already taken them down because China has weapons that while United States are having this Cold War with Russia and busy in Iraq and Afghanistan and around the world, China for 30 years, I knew this, has been making these weapons and have developed them very well. From the carrier, my brother and sister, they had a bullet for every single citizen in the United States. Like there's a bullet with your name. They shot those bullets, my brother and sister. I can say they were thousands of miles away. 44 rifle, 9mm, 45. They only have a certain range. If you know about weapon, you know that. They only have a certain range, a few hundred feet away, maybe 2 to 3 miles. I believe some can go up to 5 miles. And that's it. these bullets that China was shooting can go, I believe, over 1,000 miles easily without a problem. I was amazed because I picked one of the bullets in my hand, and I was looking at it. I know the military, U.S. military, has these hollow bullets that can go through steel, bricks, wood, but these were more special that the Lord allowed me to see that China has secretly developed for over 30 years. And I held the bullet in my hand. The Lord wanted me to see. I picked it from the ground and I saw it. My brother and sister. And these special hollow bullets that the army has are the population, it's illegal for the population to have those. It's only for the military here in the United States, in most of them, all the country. But these that they made were a lot better and can go to longer distance and then can take out people anywhere in the United States without a problem. My brother and sister, I saw the body of the people that these bullets was taking out around me in the whole city, my brother and sister. And they were taking people out with no problem. They were going through steel houses, bricks, my brother, stones. And the only place I knew was in some of those bridges where in the main highway where there's so much stones in between, so much rock in between that they had cut and shaped for those places. If you throw yourself under that, you might probably have some protection from that. But what the Lord wanted me to experience was that asked his church, his elect, his bride, although those bullets will take out the people, the military, anybody else, take out the tanks and all that easily, it will not take us out. Because I believe like 3 of those bullets went through my chest or hit my chest, and I saw them fall on the ground. And that's when I realized that the Lord had transformed and changed our bodies. The transformation of the church, I had told people even over the phone, I don't have all the details. I know that the Lord has given me a vision and dream about the transformation of the church, the 3 days of darkness that is coming, and the transformation that is coming to the church. And me being there and seeing these things and see how the Lord knows. First of all, I know there's a lot of people thinking that when the United States goes against China, it's going to be over for China. But they don't realize how allies of China is Russia. And that they have made a vow between themselves. That if one of them attack is being attacked, the other one will defend without this nation, another nation, knowing. In the moment they go against China or Russia, they're doomed. They're doomed. This nation will be bombed in every corner. And they've been ready for that. They've been getting themselves ready for that for over 30 years. Their missile is already pointing. Unknown, hidden, thousands of feet below. And I was in the middle of that mess, because it's going to be a mess here. My brother and sister. Okay? And when those bullets started coming in, and I saw the body of the people here, poor citizens, taken down like nothing, like hunting deers. My brother and sister, a turkey, boom, over the head. The bullet was hitting them, and there was no escape for the population. And I was walking. Yes, I believe they have precise satellites and those bullets and all that, GPS satellite. And it's just horrible. It's sad that they made it so well and so well developed, and these people had no idea what they have. My brother and sister, and that when those bullets goes against those people, there's no escaping. They'll go through the brain like nothing. And I saw all those bodies dropped in the floor. And I was actually walking over them because at the moment came to my mind, my wife and my children. I said, where are my children? And I was thinking, what was the last time I saw them? But the Lord had me realize as the bullet was coming in that I was moving, trying to move away from the bullet, but the one still coming in after they took the people down so quickly hit me, like three of them at once. In other words, if then any person moving around try to run away from the bullet, you have more bullet coming to you right away because they don't want anyone moving or escaping. They want to bring the population down quickly. And my brother and sister, I'm walking over the bodies and so saddened and so broken for the people. So many people I see dead in the floor. They died practically instantly after the bullet went through their head. My brother and sister, bloody body everywhere. And I'm looking for my children. But the Lord made me realize you don't need to fear. You don't need to be afraid, my son. I have changed your body for you, for them not to be able to hurt you at all. The promise the Lord have made for us are real. They're just not story. They are real. Our God is a real God. Our God is a faithful God. Our God, what he promised us, he fulfilled, my brother and sister. He has promised us to take care of us and protect us and deliver us from the hour of testing that will come upon all humanity, my brother and sister. And that's what I experienced. Seeing that the bullet cannot go through my body, cannot kill me, doesn't matter how good they are. And I saw them going through steel. I saw them going through bricks like nothing. My brother and sister, okay? But they could not hurt me. They could not penetrate my body. My brother and sister could not kill me. My brother and sister, because greater is he that is in us, that he that is in the world. No weapon formed against us will prosper. My brother and sister, our God has promised us protection. Our God has promised us to deliver us. My brother and sister, as I share with the brothers and sisters, in Psalm 91, my brother and sister, David said, this is from the Jewish, my God, in whom I trust. But before that, he says, my refuge, my fortress. Hallelujah. And he says, who says to Adonai, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust? He will rescue you from the trap of the hunter. That's how they're coming. Those bullets are a trap of the hunter, my brother and sister. But our God knows this. He will rescue you from the trap of the hunter and from the plague of calamity. That's what COVID-19 is. He will cover you with his pinion, his feather. And under his wing, you will find refuge, a course. His trust is a shield and a protection. Why do you think the Lord keeps telling us, trust me, trust me, trust me, my brother and sister? Because trusting the Lord is true, is a shield and a protection. Trusting the Lord will keep us protected. Trusting his word, he is our refuge, our refuge. His feather is over us in the last days to protect us from any weapon formed to try to take us down. It will not be able to. My brother says, neither the future, the present, nor the past can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, no weapon that they can come off with can take them millions of years to make better weapons. And none other weapon can take us down, because our Lord, our God, is, we serve the Almighty. And what has my power here protect us, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. He's telling us to trust him. For you have made Adonai, the Most High, who is my refuge, your dwelling place. No disaster will happen to you. No calamity will come near your tent. For he will order his angels to care for you and guard you whenever you go. They will carry you in their hand. Always pray for that angelic protection. But in this revelation of the Lord, it was how he changed our body into a glorious, glorified body. Glorious house, body, heavenly body, angelic body. That no bullets can penetrate us. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. He put a seal there, his promise, his name, that is above all name in that word, saith the Lord, says Jesus, says Messiah. He is promising us protection, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. He wanted to show me, and not only show me, how me experience that the bullets they have made are special, have the latest and best technology, satellite GPS, and they will take people, okay? How many satellites has China sent to space in the last 10 years? Hundreds, my brother and sister, just in the last 10 years, in the last 30 years. Thousands. They have all they need to do that. We know. My brother and sister, the Lord wants us to trust him, because they're ready, them in Russia. From heaven, I was shown how they are ready. They have all they need. My brother, and the Pentagon can confirm that. They're ready, and they have very fast missile. They do. Our protection is the Lord. I tell you, don't trust in man. Cursed is the man that trusts in other men. Don't trust in the mind of your army. Trust in the mind of your God, who will protect you. My brother and sister, we got here. This nation got here by their disobedience. They're going to pay a high price, like those that are bastinated. My brother and sister, the Lord is calling us to trust him. To truly trust him. Forget about our technology and trust him. Because soon, nothing we know, like Father says to me, nothing known by man will cure the coronavirus. Nothing, nothing. You can take whatever medication you can take, unless it's God wants you to take something that he will put his hand on that will help you. But nothing. Okay? Nothing. My brother and sister, because most of the things are done in hidden. Hidden, my brother and sister, hidden. Hidden. God knows. Our government don't know. They think they know. Pride. So much pride in our government that they think they know until they're surprised, and then there's nothing they can do about. That's why God's calling us to repenting. Because putting our trust in men is pride. They are prideful, and we trust in them is pride. Then we're in trouble. Trust in the Lord. I am telling you, I seen it with my own eyes. I hold it with my own hand. The Lord wanted me to do so I can share it with you. My brother and sister, understand, please, what God is saying. Don't wait trusting a man until it's too late, because then you find yourself on the floor bleeding, crying to the Lord to help you. My brother and sister, look what happened to this people of the time of Isaiah. God came down on the prophet. God came down. What do we read in Matthew 24? When the Lord comes and his angels, we probably need to be reminded tonight. Let me go there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, every time he comes down, he brings changes. He brings change, my brother and sister, every time he comes down. Hallelujah. He changes everything. Hallelujah. He changes everything. Hallelujah. Because by the time he comes, everything, hallelujah, is contaminated. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Matthew 24:27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shining even to the west, so also be the coming of the sun be. Whatsoever the carcass is, there will also be God of the eagle. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribe of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming with the cloud of heaven, with power and great glory. Great glory. When he comes with that glory, that the seraphim says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When he comes with that glory, it's to bring change. No more will things be the same, my brother and sister. No more. He comes to change things, to put an end of evil, to put an end of sin. My brother, to put an end to the devil, his demon. When Jesus come here with his angel, Matthew 24:30, it is the end of Satan. It is the end of the Antichrist. It is the end of the world. That's it. That's it. My brother and sister, that is it. They only have 7 years. In those 7 years, they better call upon the name of the Lord for them to be safe. If they refuse to, my Lord, my God, they are going to find themselves in hell, being tormented, my brother and sister. God is not playing around. He is very clear in his word. Verse 31, then he shall send his angel with great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, and from the end of heaven to the other. Learn of the parable of the fig tree. When a branch yet is tender, he putteth forth the leaf. Ye know that the summer is nigh. Here's what the Pharisee and scribe could not discern. The parable of the fig tree had them going crazy. The Pharisee and scribe were going crazy with this parable. And there's a lot of Christians trying to figure out the parable of the fig tree. My brother and sister, and he's talking about the change. Every time there is a season, there is a change. He is bringing a change with his glory. No more will things be the same. When COVID-19 appeared on the earth, did it bring a change, yes or not? Think about it for a second. Think about it for a second. Did it bring a change? Yes. But not for good, for evil. Because then humanity is limited everywhere. Limited of what they can do. It brought a change of limitation. The devil brings a change of limitation and evil. Jesus brings an end of evil, my brother and sister, to righteous people, to racist people back to him, my brother and sister. It is an end he's bringing. It is a change he's bringing. That's why the Pharisees and scribes were scratching their head with this parable of the fig tree. It was a simple parable for them to be able to discern the season. But they could not. Because change means repentance. You have to repent to receive the new wine. And that's what was happening with them. They could not receive what Jesus was giving them because it was new. It was the new wine. And in order for you to receive the new wine, You have to repent and be born again. That's what the parable is about. Being born again. Repent and being born again. Being in position to receive the new wine. And he explained to them that you don't put a new wine in an old vessel because it will broken. It will break the old. You have to put it in the new. Be born again. Be born of the Spirit. That's what the parable of the fig tree is. You'll be born of the Spirit. You'll be born again. You'll be changed. For Christ, that if you be in Christ, ye be a new creature, that the old things have passed away. Now they're new. They could not receive the new because they were holding on to the old. The law of Moses, the old. They were holding on to it. Could not let go. Could not receive the new wine. The new pouring of the Spirit could not they receive. My brothers, some people are struggling with it because you have to repent. You have to forsake your evil ways. Like I said, in order to receive, your lift needs to be removed. The sin, your iniquity, your evil speaking, the evil that is in your heart, you have to confess it. You have to repent. My brother and sister, Isaiah found himself in the same situation. My brother and sister, they lay upon my mouth and said, laid it upon my mouth, the coal, they laid the coal upon his mouth and said, Lord, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom should I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, sent me. Messiah said, send me. And he said, go and tell these people, hear ye and thee. But understand not, see ye thee, but perceive not. God is saying to the Messiah, to the people, listen, you have eyes to see, but you will not see. You have ears to hear, but you will not hear. Lest you repent, my brother and sister. That's why Messiah said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. Kingdom of God is at hand. That's what they find difficult to receive. That's what they find difficult to hear because it was a new wine, my brother and sister, and they needed to be born again in order to receive it. And then God said, make the heart of the people fat, insensitive, unwilling to hear. God took away from them what he first given them. Why? Because they did not repent. When he sent the prophet to them, they will not receive the word. And God said, enough. He said, now, this is what I'm going to do to them. I'm going to make the city desolated. Everything they have, I'm going to destroy. That's it. Not being able to see, not able to hear, they've been bastinated. My brother and sister, that's what the bastinated are now. In a really difficult position. Let me share what the Lord revealed to me about the bastinated when he took me to hell. I saw an evil demon holding on to one of the soul of the people I knew. And the person wanted to hear, and the demon would not let her hear. I started speaking to the person, and I saw when the demon, so the person will not hear me, block her ears, block her mind, block her completely, her soul, where she could not hear my speech. And she walked away, my brother and sister, without being able to hear my word anymore. The demon was completely blocking this person. And the demon was claiming the right to do so because this person has been fascinated and her soul now was in hell. That's what shocked me when I was there. That really shocked me. When I saw that demon in hell could do that to the soul of this person that was still on the earth, block her ears completely. And I knew that this was in the word of the Lord, because everything is in the word. My brother and sister, the demon let me know, now this soul that you're talking to is mine. Don't you come here to preach to this person. because I will not allow this person to hear, because the person, I have the right to this soul. This demon was letting me know in hell. And how can I argue that with the demon? How can I say no when the demon is claiming the soul that's been vaccinated? The soul made a covenant with the Antichrist ministry. I understood that in hell. That those that are being vaccinated, when you receive Christ into your life, you make a covenant with God, the new covenant, the Bible calls it. They that are vaccinated are making a covenant with the Antichrist. Because when I ask the Lord, is the by seeing the mark of the beast, what did Jesus say? It is the same. It is the same. They're making a covenant with death, with the Antichrist. My brother and sister, the demon is letting me know that that soul belongs to him now. He has charge over the soul because that's what the person wanted. When Jesus, before he laid me into hell, he says to me, they are making the decision out of their own will. Those that are being vaccinated are making that decision, the Lord let me know, out of their own will. In other words, no one is making them to be vaccinated. Is that true, yes or not? Oh, they're putting an F-16 to the brain. You be vaccinated, we'll blow your brain. No. It's out of their own will. My brother and sister, that's why they're being given to death now. They are in the kingdom of death now. And they claim right to the soul in hell. And the body is up here with another demon in it, pretending to be person. And they do an evil job doing so. Let me tell you. He said, go tell these people, hear GND, but understand not. Are they able to hear? Yes. Were they able to understand? No. You can preach to them all day long. You can preach to them all day long. They'll hear you. God said they will hear you. Will they understand? No, they won't. No, but look, the Bible says you should. Oh, I don't understand what you're saying. Or they'll walk away. Oh, the demon will let you know it's not interested in what you're saying. They don't understand what you're saying. Make their heart insensitive. Make their heart insensitive. They be in touch with the prophet. My brother and sister, I'm willing is another word for insensitive. Okay? They are unwilling to hear. They don't want to hear. Let me see. It's another translation. My Lord, my God, have mercy. May these people close-minded plug their ears, shut their eyes. You see what's happening here? Who is God telling to do this? We got to get to the bottom of this. Some people say, no, we got to get to the top of this. Because this is coming from above. This is not coming from hell. Nothing can happen unless God allows it. You need to understand that. Nothing happens. So she said, well, I'm going to do this to the people. Make these people close-minded. Plug their ears. Shut their eyes. Otherwise, they may see with their eyes and hear with the ears. It's a punishment. It's a punishment. Look. Look how powerful the word of God is. Otherwise, they will see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their mind, and return, and what happened? Be healed. By listening to the word of God and believing God, you can be healed. My brother and sister. But to these people, and we're talking about millions of people around the earth, this is the punishment. And the Lord came down to do this. God came down to do this upon the people. My brother and sister. Then say I, how long, Lord? And he answered, until the city be wasted without inhabiting. My brother and sister, this is telling you that until the 7-year great tribulation is over, this is going to happen. right there in the Word of God. Isaiah 6:10 and 6:11. It tells you, because the prophet said to God, then say I, Lord, how long? It's a question. How many of us don't want to know how long this is going to be going on, Brother Elvie? Well, here is the answer. How long, said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the city is wasted. Are you listening? And without inhabitants, and the house without men, and the land utterly desolated. This is a great tribulation, my brother and sister. And Brother Benjamin can confirm to you, he put earlier in the chat, yes, this is what we saw in the great tribulation. Desolation. Anywhere on the earth that God has taken me, I've seen the same thing, desolation. Taking me to Germany, has taken me to different countries. Desolation. The city desolated. The city wasted. No inhabiting. Most everyone dead. Houses without men. Land utterly desolated. This is what I saw. And I've been there from the beginning of the Great Tribulation, from the first day to the last day of the Great Tribulation. I've been there. Been taken there over 30 times. If in 30 times, going to the different state in the different part of the country, I have not learned, my Lord, I'm slow, but I don't think I'm that slow. I seen it. This is the punishment of the people. Their eyes are closed spiritually. Their eyes are shut. Their ears are plugged, my brother and sister. That's why. May God have mercy. I have cried for my brother and sister that have been vaccinated. May God have mercy. I know that the Lord Jesus has not given up on people. That's why he's going to use that other vaccine coming out to save some of them. I don't know how many he'll save. I know there's nothing impossible with God. So I have to have the faith and hope that my brother and sister, he'll bring back. After he turned King Nebuchadnezzar into a beast for 7 years, at the end of the 7 years, he turned him back into a human, and which is a type of the great 7-year great tribulation. And King Nebuchadnezzar began the millennium, 1,000 years with Christ, where he worshiped Christ, he worshiped God. That's what that means. What happened in King Nebuchadnezzar, my brother and sister, is what is being shown to us, that God had mercy in turning him back and him praising God again. And he did it with the prophet also. Okay? He did it with David. I feel like God, my brother and sister, God can do this with people. We have to have the faith. I don't think he wants us to lose the faith. Some of the people have written to me, Brother Abby, should we pray for these people that are being vaccinated? I believe yes, because I'm still praying for my brothers and sisters that's been vaccinated. And I have not heard the Lord say, don't pray for them. I had asked the Lord to confirm to me if I should pray. Okay? My brother and sister, Jesus is not giving up on them. I'm not going to give up on them. My brother and sister, I'm going to continue to believe the Lord that, they made the worst decision of their lives. But I'm going to believe the Lord that God can reach them out of there. He took the prophet out of hell. Hallelujah. Jonah. And he took David, said he was there too. And there were people who were there too in Abraham's bosom from the times of Noah. And Jesus went down and took them out in the resurrection of the dead. So I believe that, and that was the first resurrection. I hope that these people, he can take them out too, my brother and sister. But like Jonah, I believe they need to cry out. I believe the key to them is crying, because Jesus said if they truly repent with all their heart, take that medication, truly repent, they will be saved, he says to me. These were the word of Jesus to me. He says, yes, he will save them. And that, to me, is great hope. That's why I keep preaching that, because that's what Jesus told me. Now, other prophets have said that they will not be saved. I this is why I need to go with what Jesus is saying. I went into some of my older audio that I played, some other people audio, and I deleted them today. Several of them, more than 12. And this is why I did that. One thing that God said to someone to tell me this, that I should be giving what he's giving me and not repeating what other people are saying, because this can bring confusion to the people. And that is so true. Someone contacted me and said, Brother Elby, you've been following me in my ministry and see how many of the prophecies have come to pass. He said, several of your prophecies, Brother Elby, have come to pass, including one a few days ago. He said, Brother Elby, you should stick to what God is giving you and not play on the Lord's hour what God is giving other people, because that, you know, the Lord is giving it to you. You give it to the people. And I'm starting to realize that I don't want people to be confused or even question me about what God is telling someone else. No, because if God is saying this to this other person, he may not be saying that to me. So I have to be careful, my brother and sister. Who word of prophecy I play on the Lord's hour? I have to be extremely careful because we don't want people to be confused. And I don't want people to keep writing to me about what someone else is saying. No, because God may not be saying that to me. Jesus told me that if they truly repent and take this out of my sin, he will save them, he says. I will save them, he says. And to me, that's an official word from Jesus, and I stand on his word. That's why I'm reading to you what he said to the prophet Isaiah. How long, said Isaiah? And he answered, until the city be wasted without inhabitant, that's great tribulation, and the house without men, and the land be utterly desolated. And the Lord had removed men far away, huh? And there'll be great forsaking in the midst of the land. How far away is he going to move them? Millions of miles away. What is this? The rapture. In the rapture, he's taking people far away, millions of miles away, or billions, into the heavens, paradise. My brother and sister, that's a rapture. In verse 12, the Lord has removed men far away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You see, my brother and sister? Hallelujah. Yes, there's still hope for people. Keep them in your prayer. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Remember that. Okay? Jesus is not giving up on them, so why we should? No. We still need to intercede. Yes, God is mad at them. That's not to be, it's in his word. He's mad. He's angry at them for rejecting his son, his word, not listening, not getting ready, not preparing. He says, watch and pray. They didn't watch and pray. That disobedient before God. Totally disobedient. Okay? So, he says that God is going to take, the Lord will remove men far away. That's a rapture in Isaiah 6:12. Rapture in Isaiah 6:12. Departure in Isaiah 6:12. Isn't that awesome? That I can find a rapture all over the Bible like Jesus showed me. Remember when I met Jesus one time, he had a Bible like a preacher in his hand. He opened the Bible and says to me, I'm going to show you my rapture in my word. He opened the Bible, went through the Bible, showing me the rapture. I was stunned how he just showed it to me so clear, my brother and sister. So clear, the rapture in his word. Well, in Isaiah 6:12, and the Lord will have removed men far away. That's a rapture right there, taking his people home. My brother, and people question whether the rapture is biblical or not. Man, he also told me this. If you don't believe in my rapture, and he called it my rapture, his departure. If we don't believe in his rapture and his departure, you're not coming home with me, he says. That's when I began to cry. Excuse me. That's when I began to cry and repent before Jesus. I cannot hold myself, but cry and repent. Okay? Oh, he was standing there. He spoke to me very strong. He was not playing around. His word was cutting straight any unbelief and doubt about the rapture in my life, because I had it. I had it, believe me. It was rooted in me, my doubt and unbelief. I stopped preaching it. I stopped telling people about the rapture. I stopped believing it. But he made it very clear to me, if you don't believe in my rapture, okay, you're not coming home with me. When he said that to me, I cried like a baby before him. Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm so sorry. Yes, I believe in your rapture. Please forgive me. Cry like a baby before the Lord, because I don't want to stay. Man, he wants to get us out of here before he destroy everything. And who wants to stay around? Then when he took me to the Great Tribulation so many nights and showed me all the distractions, people think that we are in the Great Tribulation. They're dreaming. The Great Tribulation, you got no idea how evil it's going to be. Okay? It's going to be terrible. 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 I have Brother Benjamin come on the Lord's Hour and share about the Great Tribulation. Every time he comes on, he gets a lot of people to repent and realize God is not playing around. This is not Elvie's story. This is not Elvie coming here to tell you a story. This is the fact of the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. There will be women and men that will come here and cry, telling you the things they saw nonstop. They'll be crying nonstop of the things they saw. And the people they try to help, and there was nothing they can do for them. Nothing. Nothing. Now, can you convince people not to be vaccinated? Of course, you probably can convince one. And that's it, my brother and sister. People have written to me things that have happened to those that are vaccinated that I decided I'm not even going to talk about on the Lord's Hour anymore. Because it's expressing. It's really, I'm motivated to people, and I'm here, I want to motivate people to get ready to be going home with the Lord. What these people are going through, pastor, leaders, they cannot believe in the mess they find themselves in the trouble they find themselves in, my brother and sister. And you know that some of them have said that they didn't believe me and my ministry, and now after being vaccinated, they say he was speaking the truth, they're saying now. I wish they were saying it before, but now they're saying it after they got vaccinated. In the world of trouble they find themselves now. Now they being able to do anything. 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 A great woman of God that got vaccinated, the demon told her when they came for her, now you belong to us. And she tried to rebuke her. They started laughing. The demon started laughing. Before you could, the demon said, now you cannot. You belong to us. Let's go. I am telling you, this is the day. Verse 12, and the Lord hath removed faraway men, and there be great forsaking in the midst of the land. Great forsaking, my brothers and sisters, coming. This is the word of the prophet Isaiah from God. Great forsaking. This is those are the days in the Great Tribulation. When if people don't believe in God and people think they're atheists now, when they find themselves in the Great Tribulation, I believe the atheists are going to become believers, and the other ones that used to be believers will become atheists, because they'll say God has forsaken us. My brother and sister, the Christian will say God has forsaken us, and the atheists will be repenting in the Great Tribulation. Why? Because they finally realize how wrong they were. When they loosened those Nephtali and 999 feet tall through the cloud, their head, and they're tormenting them. And then they're like, I thought these demons were not real. I thought we thought God was not real. And they see all those demons running in the daylight at 12 p.m. in the daytime, at 1 p.m., the demon walking around. I was walking in the Great Tribulation. There was a demon about 1,000 feet, around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, walking in the middle of the street. People were running from him. He was grabbing humans and throwing them around like playing volleyball or whatever, having fun and laughing at people. People that realize that they're real, have finally realized they're real, they can tell you how miserable they were now. because they thought before they were story, they were not real, that the Bible was not real. And now when they see everything that the Bible talks about now, they see it with their own eyes now. Because, see, now it's by faith. That's the season of grace. When the great tribulation began, it's not by faith anymore. It's by seeing. You understanding? God called the people through Jeremiah to walk by faith. The people in the generation of Jeremiah refused the prophet, the word of God through Isaiah, through Jeremiah to walk by faith. Okay. God sent King Nebuchadnezzar with his army of hundreds of thousands of men, and by their eyes they were seeing their sons and daughters being put through the sword, being killed right in front of them by eye now. By eye. Now they were seeing what God said to them through Isaiah that he was going to do to them if they would not repent. They refused to repent. Now they were seeing their children being beheaded in front of them, being killed in front of them. Those Romans, those Babylonians were cruel like you cannot even imagine, my brother and sister. They were the cruelest people on the earth. They will kill your children and son, put them through the sword right in front of you. You see them bleeding to death right in front of you without you being able to do nothing about it. But you will have to see it. Because if you don't walk by faith with God, then you will have to see. And you don't want to see the afterward. You don't want to see. It's better for you to believe and see the glory of God later, my brother and sister. See the goodness of the Lord afterward when you walk by faith. But you don't want to see in disobedience. No. Because if you wait to see in disobedience like the children of Israel in the time of Isaiah, in the time of Jeremiah, in the time of Ezekiel, what you will see is terror. That's how Jeremiah and Ezekiel describe it, the terror on the street of Jerusalem, my brother and sister. What was the terror? Seeing their family, their brother, their sister, being killed in front of them, and there was nothing they can do. Because God told them that what was going to happen to them if they would not repent. My brother and sister, repenting with God means God will keep you, protect you, and even your family if they repent. My brother and sister, I'll give you an example. Lot was the only righteous man in his family. Noah was the only righteous man in his family. But because of their faith walking with God and repenting, God spared their children and wife, spared Noah's wife, and his three sons, and even their wives. God spared Lot, two daughters, but his wife took it to the stream, and she was not spared. Yet did the angel grab his wife by the hand and was bringing her to the mountain with Lot and the daughter? Yes. Come on, come on, come on. Because until you're not out of the city will not be destroyed. And the angel grabbed the people, Lot, the two daughters, and the wife, let's go, let's go, let's go. But she was so disobedient that she looked back. My brother and sister, can you imagine God sent his angel? The angel grabbed you by the hand and said, let's go. Don't look back. Let's go. You're seeing an angel. Come on. Where are you? Where's your hands? You're seeing a mighty angel from heaven right there with you, helping you. But your disobedience is so great that even though you're seeing the angel, you say, no, wait a minute, I got too much stuff that I left. You know, I left my good computer back then. I left my good car. I had a nice car. It was a nice car. It took me a lot of years of work to buy that car. And you're thinking of all the things you left behind. And then you also lost where your car and all that. Come on, people. God is calling us to repent and let go of the things that we're leaving behind, my brother and sister. And the Lord had removed men far away, and there'll be great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet, and it shall be in a tent. Shall be in a tent. And shall return, and shall be eaten. And a tail tree as an oak, whose sustenance is in them when they cast their leaf. So the holy seed shall be a sustenance thereof. Let me read this through the other Bibles just to get I'm going to clarify words because I'm reading that like I'm reading in Chinese. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, this is the opportunity. This is the day the Lord has made. And although a tenth of the people remain in the land, and it will again be suggested to the destruction, consume and be burned, like a massive terebinth tree or like an oak, whose stump remains when it's chopped down, the holy seed of the elect remnants, and its stump, the sustenance of Israel. So God is keeping a remnant of the people of the children of Israel. My brother and sister, he always has. A remnant is going home in the rapture, and a remnant, a great multitude, comes out of the great tribulation in his mercy. Okay? The Bible says that the Lord knows who are his. So he knows that even there's a great multitude staying behind the great tribulation, a Sunday church going people, but they refuse to repent weekly, is going to get them because they are in his list to be going home. And whatever they have to see, okay, whatever they have to see in the great tribulation to truly repent, they're going to have to see it. You see, a lot of people still have their doubt and their unbelief that they're not repenting. So they have to see to truly humble themselves and repent. But those that stay behind in the great tribulation, that has been they're still having those little doubts and unbelief in them that are refusing to repent. Well, when they find themselves in the great tribulation and see all the evil that is coming upon the earth and all those fallen demons, Nephilim walking the earth, then they say, my Lord, my God, I have been blind all this year, and truly cry out to God. But God has a plan to bring them out. He has a plan. He's going to bring them out. It's going to be painful because some of them will have to be beheaded. There's nothing more painful than that. A lot of people don't even think about what beheading means. My brother and sister, the Romans practiced beheading with the disciples. And before they kill anyone, my brother and sister, they tormented their lives. And the torment, some of them were even thrown to confront the lions. They have this place in Rome where they have these lions. You can go back in history and read about it, look it up in the library, and where they used to throw the Christians, and they had to confront the lion just so they can see the lion devouring those people that tried to fight the lion. They had no weapon, just defending with their own hand a hungry lion, my brother and sister. Several lions with several people, and the Romans were clapping and celebrating and having fun as they see the lion killing these Christians, my brother and sister. Okay? And some of them did not die right away. They had broken bones, and when they took them out of there, then they killed them by the sword. Okay? It was terrible what these people went through. Similar, even worse to that, is what these people who stay behind in the Great Tribulation. Okay? And the Coliseum, thank you. This sister from Puerto Rico, I remember, at Gigi Avila Ministry, she was taken to the Great Tribulation, which it was so shocking to her because she saw pastors that were against the rapture, that never preached the rapture. And like the Lord said, if you don't believe in the rapture, you're not going home with him. And people, he saw a multitude of people that had the pastor grab by the hand and some had them grab by the feet, and they were pulling the pastor apart, breaking his body apart. The pastor was crying, begging the people that it hurt so much to please let him go. And she saw when they tear his body in two pieces and drop him to the floor bleeding. And she was crying. She was so broken by what she saw. She said, I never thought nothing like that. Then there was a prominent Christian. And they wanted her to deny Jesus and take the mark. Okay? And they had her against the wall. She was praying, and she was like 7 or 8 months praying, my brother and sister. They grabbed a thing of water and started pouring it into her mouth. Every time she said no, she will not take the mark, they keep pouring water over her mouth. And they started punching her belly. Punching it, my brother and sister. Kicking her belly. Praying it. Do you know how much pain that causes? Not just to the baby, but to the mom. And she was crying and paying, begging them to stop because it hurt so much. And these people would not. You know? Would not. That is, my brother and sister, there will be no law in the Great Tribulation. There will be no mercy. No mercy at all. My brother and sister, disobedient, there's a great punishment for disobedient, my brother and sister. And God made the heart of his people insensitive, their ear a dull, their eyes dim, otherwise they may see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Okay? Keep on listening, but do not understand. In other words, God is saying that his word will still be preaching while people are being vaccinated, but their spiritual state is this. They can keep listening, but do not understand. They can keep looking, but do not comprehend. And this translation says, hallelujah. It's terrible, terrible. And I know a lot of people have heard about this, Isaiah 6:10. But never saw it this way. Never understood it this way. My brother insisted. But this is what is being done over their lives because of the choice that they're making out of their own will, Jesus said. My brother insisted. The punishment that they have to endure, my brother insisted, is like everything Jesus has to endure, they have to endure, and even worse, my brother and sister. Okay? Everything Jesus endured. The Bible said that, but he certainly has taken upon himself our suffering. It's Isaiah 53:4. He certainly has taken upon himself our suffering and carry our sorrow. Okay. We thought that God had wounded him, beat him, and punished him. People, every time something evil happens, they think it's God. Thought it was God. That's the mentality. That's what the devil wants you to believe, that God is the one causing all this evil. No, it's not. When people make the decision, they are the one that they're taken there by the enemy. My brother and sister, God is not doing this. My brother and sister, we certainly have taken upon himself our suffering and carry our sorrow, but we thought that God had wounded him. We thought. My brother and sister. Brother Ben Danun did a study about how certain word has been translated in the King James and how some of the good rabbis translating some of the New Bible. And the difference is, and then he reads the word in Hebrew, and then he explains it about Isaiah 53. And a really good translation, he was saying, that some of the word out of the original Hebrew don't mean in English what they've been saying, my brother insisted. And that is because a lot of people think that most of the evil God is doing it, when God had nothing to do with it. God is saving people out of it. Jesus came to save people. Not condemn them. The Bible is very clear about that. He came to save but not condemn. So how is it that he is being blamed for condemning people? Okay? He came to save and not to judge. Okay? The thief, Satan, is the one to kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus said. It is Satan, the thief. He is a thief. He steals from you every time he can. Every time he came, he steal from you. I heard the Lord saying the other night, I'm going to restore to my people everything that has been stolen from them. I heard the Lord saying this, and I got so happy and joy as I hear him saying this, and he wanted me to hear this. I'm going to restore to my people, he says, everything that the enemy has stolen from them, he says. Oh, I was like, yes, Lord, yes, yes. I got excited for what Jesus was saying the other night, my brother and sister, because he said everything. And then he started detailing the things that a lot of people have lost. And he says, I'm going to restore it to them, back to them. He says, ah, man, I was so excited to hear the Lord say that. Everything he has stolen from my children, I'm going to restore it back to them. He says, very, very loud voice to me in my dream. Oh, I can hear him in the spirit, his loud, clear voice saying, I'm going to restore everything the enemy has stolen from my children. He says, my Lord, my God, he has stolen so much. My brother and sister, a lot of people have given up on a lot of the things they have lost, but not God, not the Lord. He has not given up. On you and on those things you have stolen. As long as you endure, as long as you persevere, God will fight for you. Please understand, he's not giving up. Jesus Christ intercedes for you day and night. He's not giving up. The things you have lost, oh, he's going to bring back to you. He's going to restore back to you. Your enemy is celebrating, thinking that he has taken stuff from you. But he has forgotten the power of our God, the Almighty our God is. And he's going to restore, Jesus said, everything that the enemy has stolen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He was wounded for our rebellious act. He was crushed for our sin. Do we see people in the Great Tribulation being crushed? Being wounded so badly. I saw a man wounded. He only had less than half of his hand hanging. An agony of pain running for his life in the Great Tribulation. The Lord was wounded for us. If you reject Jesus, now you will have to be wounded. I remember when Father says to Brother Larry, that those that are refusing his son, everything and more that his son has suffered on the cross, they will have to suffer in the Great Tribulation. Jesus died to deliver you from going in the Great Tribulation and from going into hell. He died. He was wounded. He was crushed that you will not be wounded. You will not be crushed. Even your sorrow. What part of your life do you sorrow much? When do you sorrow? When the bank takes away your car, when you lose your house, when you lose a loved one, when your ex-husband left you, when you're not able to pay your bill, your rent, when do you sorrow? When one of your kids gets sick or you get sick, when you lose a loved one, when do you sorrow? Or maybe you are lonely and have no family. And that's your sorrow, that's your pain. Jesus took upon himself your sorrow. When the Lord comes to you, you will sorrow no more. You will sorrow no more. He'll give you joys and peace, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Help me remember, Jesus. Help me remember, Lord. Help me to remember, Lord. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everything stolen from you will be restored back to you. He was punished that we would have peace. My brother and sister, hallelujah. How many times we complain about not having enough peace in our lives? That so many things take our peace. He will punish, my brother and sister, so that we could have peace. We inherit peace because of what Jesus did on the cross. You are going to have everlasting peace, everlasting joy in him when you come to heaven, my brother and sister. That is part of his promise to you. You can pray for it right now and ask, have you ever prayed for peace? Have you ever said, Lord Jesus, I repent of my worry and my concern, the sins of worry and the sins of concern. I am so sorry, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will fill my heart and you fill my mind and you fill my life with your peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name I pray. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I receive your peace, Lord. I receive your peace in Jesus' name. I receive your peace, Lord. And I can feel that peace pouring in my life. As I confess worry, the sin of worry, the sin of concern, a simple prayer and faith for peace. Not like the world giveth, but like Jesus giveth. And it's just, oh, it's overwhelming peace all over your heart, all over your body. I can feel the peace of the Lord. A simple prayer. Take away all of your concern. Just give on your concern. Give on your, Lord, I give you my concern. I give you my worry. Fill me with your peace, oh Lord. And I will give you peace for the day, for the week. Praise the Lord. If you worry, you sin. If you concern yourself, you sin. Okay? It doesn't mean that you don't attend or take care of what you need to take care of. It's that you can have peace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord will give you peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we receive healing from his wound. Thank you, Lord. Now I remember what the Lord revealed me about the wound of Jesus. The King James said, by his wound. I remember when the Lord said that if we ask him to come down for him to heal us in one of the healing services, he says, get in agreement with your brothers and sisters, the Lord says to me in heaven, Jesus in his throne, and ask me to come down and heal you, and I will come down and heal the sick, he says. Praise you, Lord. Amen, Lord. I remember we came in agreement. The Lord came down, and there was a young lady in a wheelchair for over 12 years that the Lord healed. She's still walking to this day. That was about 2-3 years ago on the Lord Tower. Over 12 years, not even able to walk, and there was nothing the doctor could do for her no more. Every day she would write to me almost, Brother Elby, please pray for me. I want to get off on this wheelchair, Brother. Brother Elby, I'm stranded in my own house. I have not been able to get out of my house. And every day for months, he kept writing to me, please pray for me, Brother Elby. I heard the testimony you share, how God used you to heal people, Brother Elby. Please pray for me. Please come in agreement for me. And when the healing service came, that the Lord spoke to me, and I called people out to fast that week and come together for the Lord to come down and heal people, that night, when we asked Jesus to come, Jesus came to her room and touched her body. She got up from the wheelchair, and she's walking until this day. I was talking about her a few months ago here about her healing. She contacted me again and said, I'm still walking. I'm still healed, Brother Elby. I've been able to travel to different places, different states that I had not been able to go before. Walk in there. Hallelujah. I'm able to walk fine. I'm healed completely. Healed. My brother and sister, she walked on her 2 feet. Had not been able to do it for over 12 years. Oh, glory to the Lord. Jesus came down that night and touched her body and healed. The Lord helped me to understand this, that when he says by his stripe and we ask him to come, he'll lay hand on us. The stripes are still there, and we are healed. I know some of you are asking for your healing. Ask the Lord to come to you. Pray and fast and ask him to come to your house and touch your body. As he said by his wound, ye are healed. The coming, touch you with those wounds, his wound that he has in his hand. Touch you. Come and lay hand on you and heal you completely. Ask him to do that, my brother and sister, and he will come and do that. You don't need to wait for a healing program for us to do this here. I know that, yes, in the multitude of faith, when we come together, like that man that was brought to the roof of the house when Jesus was there, the paralytic man, and then he walked, and it was by the faith of those that brought him. Yes, I believe that. I truly believe that. My brothers and sisters, thank you, Lord. We can come together, and the Lord will heal his people. He will come down and heal his people again. Yes, we'll choose that to the day. We'll do another healing. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, I'm going to go into prayer and ask the Lord about this. My brother and sister, and we want to ask of those that are sick and whatever is going through their life, what can they ask Jesus to come down from his throne down to the earth again and come and lay hand on the sick and heal his people. He makes a promise to us. Hallelujah. We receive healing from his wound. Okay? He comes and lay hand and you are healed. You are healed. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. It's so exciting when he does it. Okay? So exciting. Sister contacted me last week or the week before. Brother, I have a bleeding problem that doesn't stop, brother. Oh, I need you to pray. We came in agreement, and the Lord took that away this week. Heal her. She wrote back to me. The Lord, I'm healed. It's gone. Praise your Lord. The Lord can do anything. We got to ask him to come. He will come. And when he comes, things changes right away. My brother and sister, I'm not asking you to go to men and lay hand on you. No, we're asking Jesus to come down and lay hand on us. You see the difference? Do you see the difference? We're asking Jesus to come from his throne in heaven and come and lay hand on us. You see the difference? Than asking people to lay hand on you. God destroyed the system of laying hand. Because the way they were doing it was for them to get the glory. This way, he gets the glory, comes and does it. My brother and sister, we all stray like sheep. We all have all strayed like sheep. Each of us had turned to go his own way. Leave me alone, I'm going my way, people say. That's what humanity has done. And the Lord, this is Father, lay all of our sin on him. My brother and sister. Oh, people went straight, refused to listen and obey. Those are great sin, because you're rejecting God's message to you. God is sending messenger speaking to you in so many ways, even in dream and vision, revelation. Through people that you don't even know, God is speaking to you. And the people went straight out, forget about that. I don't have time for that. And God lay the sin of all our sin on him. All that rejecting the Lord, rejecting his gospel, all that was laid on Jesus. This is why I believe those that are being vaccinated, there's still hope for them. Because all that rejection that they did on the Lord was laid on Jesus. My brother and sister, the demon think that they're winning because they have their soul. God says that everything belongs to him. And when the time comes, I believe, my brother and sister, there's a time when God's going to set the captive free. This word that God said, God can set the captive of Babylon free. When the children of Israel find themselves in that situation, God said, and they set the captive of Babylon free, and he set them free. Now it comes the captive that are today that find themselves captive where the devil thinks he's winning. God's going to set them free. Their time will come, my brother and sister. I believe it. We got family that have been vaccinated. Thank you, Lord. Their time will come. Their time will come. Their time will come. This helps us understand why rebellion and disobedience, how far can they go? How far can rebellion, how far can disobedience take a human being? My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. He was abused and punished, but he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He was like a sheep that is in silence. When a wool is cut off, he did not open his mouth. He was arrested, taken away, and judged. He would have, though, that he will be removed from the world. My brother and sister, the world had totally taken Christ from among them. We already see how the Bible has been removed from the court, how they are refusing to celebrate Christmas, my brother and sister, how they are refusing to pray to him, even in the presidential inauguration that has been done in the United States for over 200 years. They thank God and they pray for the new president of the United States. For over 200 years, this nation prayed to God and thanked God for the new president. There's always been an inauguration. You can look it up in the history of this nation. How they thank God, how they praise God and pray to God in the inauguration. In the United States, starting in this year, in the inauguration of Joe Biden, they didn't thank God. And they didn't pray to God. They prayed to fallen demon, fallen God, my brother and sister. When Obama said that this nation was not a Christian nation, it was a lie. But there was something true in it, my brother and sister. The devil lied to Eve, but there was something true in what he said. My brother and sister, okay? He mixed like a colada, like a mixed drink, the lie and the truth. My brother and sister, and that's what the sermon comes in. When they mix the truth, when they mix the drink, you got to know what they're mixing there. Because some drink, when you miss them, they can kill you. Although they tell you they're good for you, they can kill you, my brother and sister. Don't just drink any drink. Be careful what you drink. Be careful what you mix. Even when people mix alcohol, when they mix the wrong drink and can make them ill and some people have died, you need to be careful, my brother and sister. The devil gave Eve a mixed message in the garden. And make Eve fall, my brother and sister, from the presence of God. It makes her fall. It makes Adam fall. You got to be careful with those mixed messages that they're putting on Facebook and YouTube and online. When you discern, when the Lord tells you to your spirit, this message is not mine, when you're listening to someone, cut it off right there. I remember the day I was listening to someone preaching a mixed message on YouTube. And there's a verse where the Apostle Paul said, take the good and leave the bad. And I was kind of thinking that the Lord rebuked me harsh. Jesus rebuked me. He spoke to me that day and said to me that if I listen to false teaching, I sin. He said, I sin. And God will hold you responsible for that sin and that false teaching. And I was like, but Lord, it wasn't me that preached the message. It was someone else. I was just listening to it. But the Lord said, God will hold you responsible And I was like, okay, I repented, my brother and sister. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry. And he told me for us not to listen to false teaching. Mix the good with the bad. Because some would read the word, and when they go on the word, they'll change the word. My brother and sister, yes, you can make a mistake reading like I have many times, but then you correct yourself. But to teach something false, that's something different. Now, that's a spirit behind that teaching. And when you listen to that spirit, you allow the spirit into your life. My brother and sister. And then the Lord told me, as someone that was receiving false teaching, and the Lord, when he tells you something, then he makes it happen. She contacted me and said, Brother Obi, I'm confused. And I said, I'm glad you contacted me, sister. And she was like, why? We haven't spoken in months. I'm glad you contacted me. Because the Lord gave me a vision of you last night of being confused to listening to false teaching on YouTube. And she said, oh, wow, it's true. It is so true, beloved. I'm so sorry. I said, repent. You know, you say I'm sorry to the Lord. You didn't offend me. I'm just telling you what the Lord had revealed to me and told me about you, listening to false teaching. And he showed me you were confused because I see her confused, putting her hand over her head, confused. And then she contacted me, telling me she was confused. And before she said anything, I told her what I saw her so happening to her and her listening to false teaching. And she confirmed it. She said, Brother Elvie, oh, I'm glad the Lord showed you this, but the Lord is so right. I have been listening to false teaching. This is what been making me sick. You know, when you feel, you listen to a message, I'll give you a clue, and then you feel like you want to bomb it. Be careful with that. Message. If you listen to a preacher and you feel like the bombing in it, that's false teaching. Okay? Something that should not be in your body, my brother and sister. Okay? If you listen to false teaching and then you listen to the true, sometimes it bothers people. When they listen to the true, but they've been listening to false teaching, it's because they have allowed other things into their life. And now they are accustomed to the lie. No. That's what the Apostle Paul warned Timothy, my brother and sister, about. He warned them of this. For him to be careful in regard to false teaching. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let me read it to you so you see what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, speak expressly that in the latter time, last day, end time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed, listening to seducing spirit and doctrines of devil. Oh, man. Oh, I'm just listening to brother so-and-so. Oh, I'm just listening to Pastor so-and-so, seducing spirit and doctrine a devil. The spirit, the demon is seducing the person to listen. And the devil, a demon like Satan, or a Satan, if you want to say it, is teaching the teaching. My Lord, my God. We are in one of the most dangerous time in history. Why? Because you have in the pulpit, on television, on the radio, demon, Satan, teaching the word. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. When the Lord revealed me this, I was sick for days and even months, my brother and sister, that we can be submitted, we can be listening to a devil teaching the word. And if you don't have that closeness with the Lord and that discernment with him, You can be entertained by that demon. You can be listening to the lies of that demon. My brothers and sisters, there is a preacher that has millions of people on television and radio following him. And in one day, I asked the Lord, I was listening to him in my car, and I asked the Lord, why, when I will listen to him, I will feel like a demon was talking to me. And the Lord says to me, because he is a demon. I almost, if I was not sitting in my car, I think I would have fallen to the floor. I think I would have needed an ambulance to get me out of there because I felt sick. Okay? I felt sick. I felt like, how can this be? How? And then he took me into the Word. And this is one of the verses he took me to. My brother and sister, I'm going to read it again. Now, this, now, present time. Now is the present, right? Now is the present, right? The Word of God, remember about the Word of God. What did I tell you the Word of God is? It's prophetic. Past, present, and future. Look how the apostle says it. Now, or there was. He didn't say there was or there will be. But then he pointed that it's for these last days. But he says now. Because the ministry of iniquity is already at work. Doesn't he say that? Or I'm making this up? I'm not making this up. This is the word from God through the Apostle Paul to the churches, my brother and sister. Again, and I'll read it again. Now, the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter time, end days, last days, some shall depart from the faith. Backsliding Christians, my brother and sister. Backsliding Christians is one of the most dangerous person to preach the gospel. My brother and sister, okay? Let me find another verse just to show you. If a person is backsliding, it should not be preaching the gospel, my brother and sister, okay? Praise the Lord. I got to look up this verse because I got to show you how dangerous a backsliding Christian is, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God. It is so dangerous. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm in the book of Hebrew. Hallelujah. Praise you, Yeshua. Hebrew 10:21, having a high priest over the house of God. That's in verse 21. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. That's when you walk with God. Having our hearts sprinkled from all evil conscience in our body, washed with pure water. Okay? This is the work of God in our life when we repent. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for that verse, Brother Joseph. Jeremiah 3:22, return ye backsliding children. I will hear your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Amen. He will heal the backsliding. Why do God wants to heal the backsliding Christians? Because a backsliding Christian sharing the word is one of the most dangerous things there is today in the churches, in the pulpit, on radio, on television. My brother and sister, We need to walk with Jesus. And if we are not, we don't preach. If we do, it is so dangerous. Let me keep reading. Let us hold fast for the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good work. Amen. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as it is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see in this day approaching. Okay? A lot of people have taken this out of context and saying that you have to be in church. No, you have to be with your brother. You have to come together with your brothers and sisters, is what it's saying. Forsaking the assembling. We assemble. We come together. That's what that means. Okay, this has been taken out of context. Be careful with that. For if we sin willfully, listen, this is the backsliding, verse 26. This is what the backsliding does. I have to say, forget about this. For if we sin willfully, after having received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sin. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God. For his sacrifice on the cross, when we repent, we are cleansed, we're purified. That's the work in our lives. If we willfully sin, backsliding, having received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sin. No more sacrifice remains. Okay? But a certain fearful expectation of judgment, a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Okay? This is another thing or another revelation for the great tribulation. That's what this is. But it's also judgment upon the backsliding. Okay? Which a lot of people refuses to explain in this way. A lot of people cannot explain it even this way because they don't want to hurt the feeling of other people. My brother and sister, yes, we have to be careful for hurting the new believer when we explain the word. We need to be sensitive to our coming in the Lord, growing, receiving, and knowledge. But we also need to tell people that going back willfully sinning, it is one of the most dangerous things anyone can do. Not only when people willfully sin and go back to sin again willfully, but it opens the door for the devil, for the demon, for the principality to use this person who went back into doing the evil things that it stopped doing for so many years, my brother and sister. And the only thing that will come upon their life is the indignation. That's a great revelation. We shall devour the adversary. The adversary is the devil, not the demon, thrown into the lake of fire. My brother and sister, the false prophet, the Antichrist, thrown into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. The indignation is also known by the great tribulation. Judgment and fury indignation. That is God, when you read Revelation, bringing the judgment upon the earth. My brother and sister. Again, go back to the same. After the Lord told me this was a demon, and when you hear something impacting to your life that you say, wow, then you want to know, like, Lord, where is that in the Bible? The Lord had never spoken to me anything that I cannot look up in his word. Everything he has shown me and everything he had told me, I can go look it up in his word. I remember people questioning me when I came in 2002 on the Lord's Hour. Everything that I was saying, they were questioning. Everything. And I said, it's in the word. And then they started saying, but you got to show us where it is in the word, Brother Elvie. You know, practically, that's what I've been doing since 2013, looking up in the word, everything the Lord has shown me, to show people that everything is in the word, but you need to take the time to look it up. I love it that some people do, but the majority of people don't do. That's why they question what I'm saying from the Lord, because they don't read the Bible. They don't look it up in the Bible. Please read your Bible. Take the time to look up things. It's important that we have a biblical foundation, a word foundation. Verse 4 of Timothy. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, backsliding Christians, giving head to the seducing spirit. What will be the cost of these people, my brother and sister? The Apostle Paul says that the Holy Spirit is saying that in the latter day, some shall depart from the faith. And then the question is, why? Because we usually ask, why? Why? Well, then he tells us why. One of the reasons why people will be departing from the faith is giving heed to seducing spirit. But I'm only listening to so-so and so teaching the word on television, on TVN or on Daystar. I'm only listening to so-so and so. Okay? Seducing spirit. And doctrines of devil. But I'm only following this large ministry that have millions of followers. Great men of God, they say. And God said, doctrine of devil. My brother and sister. Okay? I got great respect for Benny Hinn. And I said it here on the Lord's Tower. But one day, Jesus, the Lord showed me him as a wolf in sheep clothing. I said it maybe once or twice or more on the Lord Tower. I respect Benny Hinn and his ministry. I believe many people have come to the Lord through his ministry. But Jesus showed me him clearly. He was preaching the word. And he showed me him as a wolf in sheep clothing. I didn't take it no more than that with the Lord. Once he showed me that, I stopped listening to him. My brother and sister. Okay? I've been told that he took the vaccine, my brother and sister. Now, he's been coming on YouTube now, making videos of prophecy and all this. Okay? You can tell now he doesn't have the anointing he has. Okay? He had a great anointing in his life. What happened? He took the vaccine. I'll leave it there because I don't want to sin. Because there are more to it. And I believe it's not the time for me to talk about these things. More will the Lord reveal me later. Okay? More he will reveal to us later. But the Lord one time gave me a list of pastors and leaders that are on television that he told me very angry, they will never enter my throne. They will never enter my kingdom, he says. Never enter my kingdom, my brother and sister. Before this pastor came on television a few years ago and said, okay, that not all homosexuals are the same. That means he's welcoming homosexuals into his ministry. I said, TDJ, I believe it is. The Lord spoke to me. I remember and show me him that he's going to stay in the great tribulation. And the Lord says, I'm going to punish him for misleading my children in the great tribulation. Okay? And the Lord took me to his mansion. He has a mansion where he lives. I don't know if he lives in Georgia, but he has a mansion. And the Lord took me and showed me in the spirit and said, I'm going to punish him in the great tribulation, my brother and sister. Okay? So they took the enemy hook, my brother and sister, because what they have done, it is, well, I'll leave it as that. I'll leave it. I told people I'm not going to talk about it on the Lord's Hour about those people anymore. I did in the beginning when I was late. Not anymore. Okay? But it's so dangerous, my brother and sister. Okay? I used to watch them too. And one day, I was so, when the Lord showed me he was a wolf in sheep clothing, I was stunned when he spoke it to me. This was like in 1998 or 1999, when Jesus showed me this about Benny Hinn. Okay? back in 2011 or 2012, or it could be 2010, I think it was, when he told me about TDJ, my brother, he spoke to me and showed me. And he gave me a whole list of all the pastors that are on television that he told me he's going to punish them. Okay? There were certain pastors that Brother Larry said, the father told him, they will never enter my kingdom. Brother Larry used to watch him, and then when father spoke to him about this, that was it. He was like, but father, he's preaching your word. No, he's misleading my children. That was what father said to him. Okay? It is so sad. So sad. Okay? But, okay, so, I was in Hebrews 12. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and free indignation, which devour the adversary. This is what the Lord told me about them, which is Hebrews 10:27. This is what Jesus spoke to me about them. And if you were there when the Lord spoke to me, oh, my Lord, you would have never forget what he said. He was angry, angry. Because every time you mislead one of his little ones, what did Jesus say that will happen to them that will make one of his little ones fall? What did he say that will happen to them? If one of his little ones that trust in him will make them fall, my brother and sister, look it up. Just look it up, what he will do to them. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God. Okay, doctrines of devils, my brother and sister, okay? Now, the devil is the father of all lies, isn't he or not? John 8, Jesus speaking, when he tells the Pharisees, ye are the father of the devil, okay? He's the father of all lies, right? Okay, let's see it right here. Verse 2, speaking lies. And hypocrisy, having the conscience seared with hot iron. Oh, my Lord. My brother and sister, we need to tremble before the Lord and before we speak any word. I had gone back to the Lord crying for mercy for myself after I had spoken these things. Because I want to make sure I can make it to heaven, my brother and sister. Because I have a responsibility from the Lord to come here and preach to you. But I'm accountable for every word I say. And I pray for mercy for myself. And the Lord has spoken to me and said, fear not. Okay? Fear not. Okay, how many times have you taken me to heaven but I don't want to come back again? Because I'm fearful that, okay, he takes me to heaven. Okay, I'm ready. I can go to heaven. He wants to send me back to preach his word again. Lord, but I'm like, Lord, what happened if I add or take away or make a mistake, Lord? Then I will not come to heaven. I'm afraid for my life. Pray for my life. I'm afraid for my eternity. And the Lord Jesus and Father had to speak to me and said, you will come to heaven, he says, because he knows of the fear that I have. I don't want to mislead anyone. I don't want to lie to nobody. I want to tell people what God is saying to me, what he's revealing to me. I don't want to come in. I don't want people to go to hell. I want people to go to heaven. And I don't want to go to hell neither. So I'm fearful every time I spoke those messages. People ask me all kinds of questions, I remember. It used to be people coming in the chat room, question. I even talked to the Lord about that. He said, pay no attention to the chat room, the Lord says. Preach my message, you'll say. Because I was so afraid, Lord, if I say something against one of your anointed ones, I could be in trouble with God. I don't want to be in trouble with God. So I have to always check with the Lord, and the Lord said, my son, fear not. Okay? You preach my word. So I have to check. I have to check. Verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from me, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. This is one thing I check also. I know the Lord has told me not to eat meat. And I don't tell you not to eat meat. See, I have to be careful. Daniel knew not to eat meat with the rest of the brothers. I know because the Lord told me not to do it. Some of you, the Lord has told you not to eat meat. But I cannot come here and tell everybody not to eat meat because it's a sin. That's a lie. That is a lie. Because he's not telling everyone not to eat meat. He had told me and a few of us, but not everybody else. You see the difference? We have to be careful in everything we say. My brother and sister, be very careful. We have to. We have to fear and tremble, my brother and sister, for our own salvation. Verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Amen to that. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. See? I believe you should always pray. She used to say, I just had a hamburger, cheeseburger. It's funny. Hey, listen. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What does that mean to me? That's a great news. Before you eat anything, sanctify it by the word and prayer. Okay? It's very important. The Lord gave me a tremendous experience one time where I covered my food with the blood of Jesus, and he made the food so good and so special, like heavenly food. It was a supernatural thing he did for me in my house, I remember, which I can never forget that. Okay? Because he was teaching me about sanctifying the food through prayer. The word and by prayer, by the word of God in prayer. This verse to me is so special, and now I give it to you. It's in the word of God. You say, sanctify your food, sanctify yourself by the word of God in prayer. It says there in verse 5. In other words, before, and I do this every day, I lay hand on my own food, even in the restaurant, anywhere I eat. I don't eat meat, but everywhere I eat, you know, I've been eating some of the vegetable meat. I've been trying those vegetable meat, okay? Veggie meat, which are, you know, they're just I think they call them plant burger, okay? I don't know. I got to check with the Lord in regard to, you know, he had not said no to me. Usually before I try something, like, no. I know. Okay. So I have to check with him, my brother and sister. So just be careful because he may say no. He may say no. You check with him. You check with him. You check with him. Verse 6, if thou pull the brethren in remembrance of these things, okay, that thou should be good minister of Jesus Christ, nourishing in the word of faith and the good doctrine unto which thou hast obtained, okay? And I advise anyone listening, any minister listening, when you share the word, first you pray, first you seek the Lord. Okay, don't guess, but read the word and pray to the Lord for guidance, revelations. You know, when Jacob left his house and God gave him a vision of what he was going to do with him or through him and his descendants, and how he was going to bless them. He didn't question the dream. There's a problem today with people in the churches. Excuse me. They question every dream God gives to the people. God speaks to people through dreams. God speaks to Abraham through dreams, through Jacob, Isaac, and many more of his men. God spoke to them through vision and dreams. And there was no question whether they were of God or not, because they were in relationship with God, okay, in communion with God. And so you are in communion with God. Why should anyone question whether God is speaking to you through a vision or vision? If they question, that's their thing, not yours. You trust the Lord. You have him lead you. Say, Lord, lead me. Lord, speak to me. And when he gives you a dream that you know it's from the Lord, a vision, that you know in your spirit it's of God, and you can always ask the Lord, like Gideon, for a confirmation. And he'll give it to you. When there's something important God wants you to do, he usually confirms it to you right away afterward. If you pray, you believe. He done that with me several times. I'll ask him. Someone will give me a word, or I hear someone giving a word from God. I will ask the Lord a few days or a few weeks after. He'll show me. He'll speak it to me. He'll confirm it. My brother and sister, remember the sister that I had a dream that the gospel was preached to the end of the world, the dreams. And she asked, the way God gave her the vision of the dream, she didn't understand. And at the moment, I was like, no, I'm going to pray about it, because she asked people to pray, and I pray, and then the Lord showed me that the gospel had been preached. That was the meaning of the dream unto all the world, which Matthew 24 says that when the gospel will be preached unto all the world, for a witness unto all the world, then the end will come. This is the end. We are in the end. The Lord is about to come. Any day, any hour, he's about to come for his people. This is why, I heard the Lord say yes. This is why the Lord wants us to be ready. Be in prayer washing, because he's about to come. He doesn't want to leave anyone behind, especially people here listening. He wants to take you home. He wants to give you good things. As a father that loves a child gives him good things. If you're being evil, if your son asks you for bread, you don't give him a serpent. How much more your Father who is in heaven will give you what you ask, Jesus said in Matthew 7. He wants to give you good things. You've been asking that you want to go to heaven. You want to be with him. So he is having you to be ready now to take you home, my brother and sister. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you for that anointing, Lord. He is warning us. He is wanting us to be ready. Be prepared, my brother and sister. We just pour that anointing like oil all over me. My Lord, my God. Hallelujah. No, my brother and sister. We need to. So we need to be careful that we are not listening, my brother and sister, okay, to doctrines of devils. That's what he calls them, and that's what they are. When he showed me this, oh, my Lord, doctrines of devils, okay? And you notice that he first began talking about those that depart from the faith, okay? How did those that depart from the faith end up teaching doctrine of devils, okay? It's so dangerous when a Christian is backsliding and then is preaching the word. Oh, my Lord, that is one of the most dangerous things. And they think they can do it. They think it's okay. They think they can get away with it. My brother and sister, but that doesn't happen as they think. We gotta get right with him every day. Every day. It's not like, oh, I'm going to get right with him next year, because this year I got too many other things to go. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to repent, they say. I don't have time to see God this year. Maybe next year or the year after, when I have some more time to pray and all of that. I have people tell me that on the phone. Well, I'm working so hard. I don't really have time to fast and pray like I used to and seek the Lord. But, you know, hopefully God next year or will give me time for me to do all that. I'm like, huh? Repenting in prayer to us right now has got to be like breathing. Breathing, my brother and sister. If you are able to breathe, you are able to pray. Okay? If you are able to eat, you are able to pray. You better off putting off food and even breathing than prayer. I am telling you. And the last day prayer is so important that many, because of not praying and seeking God, are dying. My brother and sister, this is the fact of this matter. This is a serious matter. Serious. If you don't have time to see God, you don't have time to live. I am being honest with you. If you don't have time to see God, you have no time to live. You have no time to eat. You have no time to breathe. You have no time for nothing else. If you're using the excuse because you're working, you have no time to pray, and you have no time to repent, my Lord, you are in trouble. Okay? People that have no time to pray and repent and seek the Lord are taken by sin by millions and billions because they put God last in all that they have to do. And they're losing their soul because of it. My brother and sister, you do not want to make the excuse that you have no time to see God, to pray, to fast, to spend time with him. If you don't have time to spend time with God, you have no time to live. My brother and sister, remember what Jesus said, that they that will save their life by sin, COVID-19 by sin, they that will save their life will lose it. And then that will lose their life for the kingdom will save it. Okay? Lose your life for Jesus. And don't take the vaccine. Don't not take the vaccine. But continue to serve the Lord with all your mind, with all your heart, and with your understanding. Join us back Tuesday night, my brother and sister. God willing, I'll be here. If not, I will meet you in the park in heaven. God willing, we'll have another Bible study. If not, we'll meet in the park in heaven. God willing, we'll have another service or we'll be in heaven. Shalom, shalom, my brother and sister. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord Jesus Christ give you his shalom. Shalom, shalom.
Well, the time has come for you to take some big steps. Big steps that will cause a great change of scenery in your life. And now, the mountains shall be removed and hindrances shall be removed. And things are turning even now, for the goodness of God shall be manifested. So lift up your hands and lift up your eyes, for the glory of God shall be revealed, and there shall be an increased measure that shall come upon you, and you'll shake off the dust of the past and arise and shine, for the glory of God shall be revealed. And I'll dress you up in some new clothes, says the Lord, and give you access to my presence, and you'll enter in. For I have turned your captivity, and now your mouth is filled with laughter.
Ah. Oh, you know, the work of the Holy Ghost is to seek and lament, and to show the
the day, and now is the time, and this is the place, and I'll no longer look back, and I'll no longer wonder when, but I'll declare now is the time, and the Spirit of God shall work in my house, and in my family, and in my children, and in my address, not someplace else, but in my house. the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad.
Even when
for the
I don't see
you
it, you're working.
You
never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Never stop.
You never stop. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't see that you're working, you never stop working.
The things of the past,
you never stop,
the visions,
you never
the dreams of the past that seem so far away and seem so big, and now they've come and they're here today. No longer wondering when or wondering how, but now declaring by my spirit and by my power, it shall surely come to pass. The things that I've planned and the things that I've purposed, saith the Lord, they shall surely come to pass. And now is the time, and this is the day, and by my spirit I'm making the way. And by my spirit you'll begin to rejoice, and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction, for I'll restore years and I'll restore health and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now today. Ha ha ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Te adoraré.